Hello, friends. I am Hope Katz Gibbs, the founder of Incandescent PR and Publishing Company, and I am here today with my amazing friend, Alina Z. This is the Question Bar on the Empowered Together Network on incandescentwomen.com. It's our magazine that is being transformed into the home of PINE. We're pining for the future we wish to see. Promotion, inspiration, networking, and education. And I am introducing episode one with Alina of the Question Bar because I am feeling a little hopeless. It is March 18th, 2023, and I read all the news all the time, and I am just overwhelmed. So I am so excited to be with my dear friend Alina. That she looks like those flowers sitting right next to her. So welcome to our show, Miss Alina.
Welcome to everybody, and thank you, Hope, for creating this space. And I'm Life Chef Alina Z, and my biggest desire is to bring joy to people by helping them connect to their essence of love, pure love, and happiness that is already in us. And I'm also feeling overwhelmed. I'm also feeling stressed out because of it, with everything that's happening. So this podcast is just our conversation on how we support each other, and consequently we can support you, because honestly, I just want to live in a happy world, and that's why I'm here.
Yeah, well, you make that, you ooze that. So I'm here to support you and all the other women that we want to bring together, because the real thing is that you are not alone, and we want to make sure that you feel like you're not alone. So welcome to the Question Bar and episode one. We were talking a couple of weeks ago after we started the Empowered Together Network. Alina is on the board. Cynthia De Lorenzi is our other co-founder, and Eva Ross, also a board member. And as of now, so we started this the day after the election, we have 30 paid members who pay just a little bit, $150 for the whole year, and you get all kinds of promotion on the incandescent channels and on social media. So this is the Question Bar because Alina said we're going to revamp Incandescent Women to be completely this, a portal for empowering women together. And she said, I want there to be like a question bar. I'm like, that's a great idea. So she's like, let's do a podcast. So here we are at the Question Bar, and we're going to take questions from all of our friends and viewers and members as we roll this down, this girlfriend chat, as we roll this out. And today we're just kind of going to talk about whatever it is that Alina wants to talk about, because there's roses next to you, Alina. That is how you make me feel. You are just this beautiful bouquet of sunshine. So,
oh, thank you. So, yeah, you know, the Question Bar, I felt like, you know, I'm here to serve and I don't know what people need help with. So I thought, if we do a Question Bar, people can say, like, this is what my question is. How can you help me with this? And then I thought, well, we already have questions that people are asking us. And those questions we ask ourselves, right? Like, how do I feel better? How do you feel better? I was talking to somebody yesterday and she's just heartbroken about people dying from cancer because they cannot afford their medicine. People dying from diabetes, they cannot afford their medicine. There's just so much worry and so much anxiety. And people are like, well, what do I do? And you're in DC. I used to live in DC. Like, people are losing their jobs. And if enough people lose their jobs, there will be other companies that will be affected. Like, restaurants will not have as many customers because people aren't going. And so the restaurant will have to lay off their employees. And then now their employees are not shopping. So, like, not the doom gloom, you know, kind of thing. But people are already there. So I'm just repeating what, you know, you have expressed. I heard other people have expressed. And then yesterday we were chatting. And we just thought, like, there's just this really strong energy of negativity. And I know a lot of people who are sensitive, they feel like there's the darkness and light of forces that are at war, not just in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm too. And not to go too much into woo-woo, but we were talking yesterday and I was thinking, well, how do we bring out, like, how do we fight it? How do we overcome it? How do we thrive? Not just survive, but thrive. And like, I'm always like, let's think of positive, right? And I was watching this movie that we talked about yesterday, A Wrinkle in Time, because it just came to me, like, there's a main character who goes to the evil planet or whatever, evil realm where the evil stems for, like the most evil place on earth. And her little brother is possessed by the evil. He's her little cute little brother. And he's like, hey, come to me. I'll make you pretty. You know, you'll have straight hair. You'll look popular. And I'm like, how is she going to overcome it? Right. And every parable, every story, the reason why they are there is because they have the truth. And the reason why we get chills is because they speak the truth. So she's about to like be grabbed by this evil energy. And she's like, no, I love myself. I love my curly hair. I love my body. And she goes, and I love you. Like, I know you're my little brother. I know that you always love me and you always check up on me. And she like starts saying like, I love you. I love you. And then she gets out of that ugliness. And then I thought like, and not to be like political about this, but whoever it is that's creating darkness in this world shall not be named. And there's several people in this world that are creating darkness in several countries. I was thinking, like, they were once little tiny babies, little tiny boys, like this little, you know, bundle of joy, like, and looking at stuff and smiling and laughing. And then something happened. Someone said something and they went onto that evil path. And, you know, I talked about this last week. I was like, I'm not going to let them make me hate them, because if I hate them, then I'm just like them. And then I thought, like, maybe that is the whole game of this. The darkness is trying to make us separate and say, I don't like you. And then we become like them because now we don't like somebody. But instead, the answer is love. And we're like, you know what? I'm going to love that little baby in you, that little soul in you. I don't know what happened and why you're possessed by this evil energy, but I'm going to love, and I'm just going to love myself, and I'm not going to be afraid. Like, I'm not going to be afraid. Like, whatever it is, we're going to die. We know that. Like, we know how this life ends. It's guaranteed. When, we don't know. But while I live, like, I refuse to hate them. I refuse to hate anybody. I'm not going to sit around and be like, oh, I love you. You're so great. I'm going to let people do stuff. I'm not saying that at all. I'm still protesting. I'm still voicing what I'm standing for. But I'm voicing it as in, I love people because people in general, not in general, but at their essence are good, because we know that when we're babies and we don't have any programming, we're happy. So whether it's a trans person, gay person, straight person, whatever, male person, a dictator person, like originally they were babies. So I'm just going to pray for them to remember that. Because if they remembered who they were, they will be like, oh, shit, I am a good person. Everybody loves me. Like, maybe that's the answer. And, you know, I don't believe in positive thinking. I believe in powerful thinking. And the powerful thinking says, I don't know if it's going to work, but it makes me feel good right now. It makes me feel good sending love. It makes me feel good to be like, hey, remember who you are. Remember who you are. Remember who I am. Remember who you are. And I have to lead by example. And so that's a law that we cannot think two thoughts at the same time. Like, we just can't. It's either one or the other. And it can be good or and bad after, but it cannot be good and bad at the same time. So for that second that you realize it, I'm like, I'm just going to think good thoughts. For this minute, I'm going to think good thoughts. And this minute, and this minute. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, or in 2 minutes, maybe somebody will cut me out of traffic and I'm like, F you, what are you doing? But then I'm like, oh, okay, let's bring back the love. And again, I'm not a Pollyanna. I'm not like always positive, but what I love about my ability that I've learned over time, and everybody can learn it, is to bring yourself back to the truth. And that's what it is, and that's what gives me so much power right now, because I know that I have this power. And we all know that light will always win. We know that, like, every single story we hear, like, love cannot, the darkness can is just a, it's sad. The darkness is really just sadness of people who think power and money will make them happy. You know, they're just sad people who are angry and who are mean and who are doing evil things. But maybe if we just fill our hearts with love, and then other people fill our hearts with their hearts with love, and it will snowball. And because it makes me feel good right now, thinking that, I'm going to continue doing that. And so that's what's been giving me hope. And then at the same time, like you mentioned, my flowers, like, I go and intentionally buy flowers that will make me feel happy, so that I can share my happiness with you, and you can share that happiness with somebody else, because we can smile at somebody and make somebody's day. And how many stories do we know? Somebody wanted to commit suicide and somebody smiled at them and they were like, wow, like, I shouldn't do that. So we know the power, right? Mm-hmm. And so today, when I realized that, I was, after watching this movie, I'm like, we have the power, and we have to just love ourselves first. So we fill our hearts with joy, buy ourselves flowers. And those people who say, oh, Lena, flowers expensive, I will tell you, I'd rather buy flowers for $10 or $8 actually, and not have dinner one night, because one night of skipping dinner actually is good for you. And I don't eat dinner more than once a week, if we're talking about that. So I buy flowers instead of food once a week, and they stand here for 2 weeks, and they make me happy. And then my happiness will do so much more for myself than food can ever do. And so that's been like my last, since we talked, that's been my last like 24 hours, I think, or whatever. I was like, oh, just love, love, like everything. And when my boyfriend gets moody, I just like make a joke of it, or I leave or whatever. Like, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not letting them, whoever them is, whoever is not in a good mood, affect me.
I love that. And the book behind you is your first book, Single and Hungry. I love it.
Yes.
Teach people how to love themselves through the meals they prepare, the beautiful meals. And you're going to start teaching that on the Empowered Together Network on Incandescent.
Yes.
I love that. I love that. Yeah.
Because food.
So here's to the question bar, and here's
yes,
to beautiful food, club soda, and cherry juice.
Yeah. And you know, I talk about in things in this book, and I will tell you something, Hope. Oh my God, it's so funny. But I truly believe, and this is like weird, but I don't think anybody can be happy when they're constipated. I really don't. Like, I know that I'm not a good person when I feel this way. So I make sure that I eat good food. So I'm regular. Sorry for sharing. Not sorry. But like, I make sure that I keep my body in a good health so that I can be a good person. Because if I don't feel good, then I'm not nice. And then other people are affected. And then I'm affected back. So food is really important, because how you eat affects how you think, and how you think affects how you act. And so there, I think it was, oh my God, I can't remember. Eleanor Roosevelt said that the person who has not dined well cannot think well, or something like that. There is a quote. So
it sounds like a Thomas Jefferson thing or Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's important. I think everybody agrees. Like, if you haven't eaten well, or if you've eaten too much, you know, because eating well also doesn't mean that you should eat too much of something that's good for you. Even too much water is bad for you. Too much kissing is bad for you. Too much breathing is bad for you. Like, so it's not about quantity.
Yeah. Balance, yeah. Self-regulation. We've been talking about this. We've rehearsed this a few times, which is why I feel so comfortable just sitting here talking to you about whatever comes up. When you talked about having love in your heart, you know, you said you were at a protest and someone was sort of attacking. How did you handle that? And what's your takeaway from it?
Well, at first we were in protest, and somebody was like flipping us off, and I'm like, F you too! Because yeah, I'm a human, you know? Like, they're giving me hate, I'm gonna hate back. And that's when I saw this woman, and she was there with her daughter, and she was like, and we love you, and we love you, and we love you. And I was like, oh my God, this woman is so amazing. And she was there for her daughter. You know, they live in Florida. Girls in Florida don't have rights to their own bodies. And so she was there for her out of love. And she wasn't fighting them who wanted to take their rights away, who took their rights away, who were supporting people who took the rights away. But she was instead, we love you, we love you. And I thought, wow, this woman is feeling so much better than I was feeling at that moment, where I was like, F you. Because honestly, like, yeah, that's my first reaction, was my first reaction. But does it make me feel good? To spur the negativity, you have to feel the negativity. And that's where, again, powerful thinking comes in. It's not being Pollyanna, but it's like, we love you. It feels good in your heart here now. And, you know, I heard this a long time ago. The best guarantee of feeling happy later is feeling happy now.
Yeah.
And because we don't know what's going to happen, right? But according to quantum physics and according to spirituality, right, like Jesus said, act as if what you want has already been given to you. And there's truth to it, because when we feel happy, we start. There's actually was a, you know, I want to share this because I love the story. There was Oprah magazine that did a story on people who said they were lucky and people who said they were unlucky. And there was a guy and a girl. The guy said he was lucky. The girl said she wasn't. And they said, just walk through from this door to this cafe on this street, sit down, have a cup of coffee and leave. And they put three actors in the shop, in the coffee shop, and they made them play like business roles like they were in the business of those participants, and then they put $5 on the street that they were passing on, and the guy walks by and he's like, I'm so lucky, and he sees $5 and he's like, oh, $5, lucky me. He takes the $5, then he goes into the cafe, he sits at the bar counter, sits next to the actor who's playing a businessman, gets his cup of coffee, starts a conversation with this guy. And by the end of the coffee, he's like, oh my God, what an awesome day. I found $5. I found a business partner. Like, amazing. And the girl walks the same route. She does not see the $5. She sits down next to the same guy at the counter, orders her coffee, does not start a conversation, drinks her coffee and leaves. And for her, it was a normal average day, but that wasn't her average day. For this guy, it's like magic and miracles everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because our attitude, and I talked to somebody who was actually a science guy, and he said scientifically, it's a science thing. When you're stressed, you literally cannot see in a periphery. You cannot see what's around you because you're so like focused on survival, what's right in front of me. And like, if we're talking about positive thinking or powerful thinking or negative thinking, like powerful thinking literally says, if you feel good right now, there's more possibility you'll see good stuff around you and you will find some bonuses around. And I found $100 bills twice in my life.
Nice.
Twice. And there were other people around, nobody noticed, but I'm always like, oh, what kind of gift can I get?
Yeah.
You know, I don't get gifts every day. I wish I could get $100 every day, but you know, maybe. But I'm just saying it's possible. It's possible. It's all our attitude. And, you know, we talked about like, I should tell the story about my grandmother. Like,
yeah.
She literally was during one of the worst times in history, St. Petersburg siege, surrounded, no light, no electricity, no food. They had a piece of bread that was like the size half of your palm for the whole day. And this bread was made out of glue and some grain. And she had to work two jobs. And at night she was volunteering to stand on top of the buildings, roofs, like looking for bombs to sand so they wouldn't explode. Like that was her job. At 20 years old, the war started. But yet they still found time, not every night, but like often enough, they would party. They would put on blankets over the windows so they wouldn't see the sirens. They wouldn't hear the sirens. They would burn whatever they could in a little fireplace, and they would play guitar and they would sing and they would dance. And she not only survived, she met my grandfather, she got married, and she had the daughter, and she had a baby before the war was over. And they weren't rich or anything. They didn't have any, like my grandfather was in the army, so he had like maybe two pieces of bread at that time. But still, like it was wartime. And they survived because they had positive attitude. And my grandmother said that those people who said, oh, what's the point? We're going to die anyway. What's the point? It's not going to work anyway. And they died. Those people who complained and who had negative attitudes. So my grandmother was always, you know, happy. But at the same time, she did not fully experience the grief of her childhood that she had. And then she ended up getting sick. And I talk about that in my book. She was sick her whole life with like kidney issues, because kidney is theoretically is connected to our grief and our sadness. And then when she got Alzheimer's, she stopped getting sick.
Wow.
She stopped getting sick. Hope, she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's like mid-90s. She died like 22, 25 years later. Because my mom kept her alive, like with good nutrition and exercise, but she did not get sick at all. She stopped having issues with her kidneys and whatnot. She lived until she was 97 because she forgot to be sad.
Yeah.
And it's like this one more proof, you know, with our feelings and our thoughts and our beliefs create our reality, because literally we see different opportunities.
Yeah, and that's what this question bar is about. Like, bring your questions to us, and we
have
this courageous conversation where we bring our hearts to it. I love that, and I love that resilience in people, right? So yesterday, so I'm here in DC, as I said, and it's all happening here. I feel like we're at the nucleus, the epicenter of the crazy. So everywhere you go, you meet people who have just been fired. They, you know, they don't know how to pay their rent, their mortgage. And like you mentioned earlier, that's impacting small businesses. I also am a massage therapist in the spa. You know, I think food, clothing, massage, maybe not the massage, right? You know, so that we'll see how this plays out. And I was feeling it intensely yesterday. And I spoke with you in Los Angeles and another friend of mine in Philadelphia. And it gave me hope because even though other areas are definitely being impacted by these decisions that are being handed down, it's not as palpable yet as it is here. And I keep thinking, well, maybe there's a turn back moment. Maybe there's a way for us to truly be in that power and not accept that this is the end of the world as we know it. You know, and that's the big question for me. How do I stay sane? And I know a lot of people, I ask everyone, how are you coping? And a lot of people are like, I'm not looking at the news. I'm just trying to live my life. I'm just trying to stay calm and compartmentalize. So I, you know, I'm trying to figure out how that's going to be for me. So on this question bar, I'll ask you a question. You can ask me one if you want after. So how are you coping?
Well, I'm doing what you said, like not watching the news. And I've noticed I'm going online, and if I see something that makes me go, I'm like, just scroll. Like, I'm like, is there anything I can do about it? Like, I'm going to go on a protest this weekend. What else can I do? Is there something I can do? And if not, just scroll, like, or put something good, because it does not make me stronger by feeling those feelings and those things that are happening. They already happened. Like, if I go against what is, I'm literally pushing against reality. But if I push towards love, right, like I'm going process, I'm going to post something good, then I'm focusing on something good. So it's shifting focus. It's literally like, oops, nope, wrong way. So that's how I've been coping. And I read this book like 12 years ago, this book called Lost and Found. And it was about this woman. She wrote, it's a nonfiction. She wrote about how she lost all of her money to Bernie Madoff. And she was sitting on a couch and she was thinking, like, what if she loses her home? What if she doesn't have any money? And like, she would fly away into these thoughts, and then she would bring herself back to the couch. She's like, I'm here now. I'm here now. I'm here now. And she found so much spiritual awakening in that experience that she ended up writing a book that ended up making her more money than she lost. So there's the miracles happen. And so that's how I'm coping. I'm just coping with that. Like, I'm here now. What can I do? Like, oh, flowers. Let's look at the flowers, because I cannot freak out and enjoy flowers at the same time. And it's just been like puppy training yourself, you know, stop. Good girl. Good girl. Quiet. Quiet. Good girl. My dog is like, what? You know, because here they were quiet. Good boy. So I literally have to do the same for myself. And everybody has to deal with the anger differently, or anxiety or whatever feelings. But I will say one thing that's super, super important that applies to everybody. And I don't even know who you are who's listening. Anxiety stops when we take action. We have to take some kind of action. It can be small action, it could be big action, whatever it is. But if we take action, it will make you feel better, because you're not just sitting there and you have this energy circulating in your body. If you take action, if you go for a walk, if you go talk to somebody, if you go write a book, go write in a journal. And I'm not saying like, go write a book when you feel anxiety, like go start a book, whatever. But like, you can put the energy out of your body into action, you will feel better. You cannot cope with anxiety by sitting in it. Right. There is something to be said processing your feelings, of course. But once you see the feelings and you feel the feelings and you cry, but you're still, like, crying is moving them out of your body, right? It's still action. Moving, experiencing your feelings is still action. You still take action of, let me experience those feelings. Let me feel those feelings. You're still doing something about them. And then once you feel the feelings, you want to scream, you want to punch a pillow, you want to cry. Like, you still take action. But that's my biggest advice, is like, do something to move those feelings out of your body. Otherwise, you'll just go make yourself crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's easy to spin and be triggered by all of this. You know, one of my core beliefs, or very core to who I am, is fairness. You know, I want things to be fair for people.
Yes. Yes. That's the archetype of justice.
And this is not fair. This feels very much like a time of deep evil and cruelty that seems to be winning. And so, you know, I never want any of the evil villains to win. You know, I didn't want Thanos to win. I don't want any of, you know, the Tesseract in Madeleine L'Engle's Wrinkle in Time. A huge fan. I studied children's literature in graduate school. It was one of my programs. And, you know, children's literature always brings out the reality, the truth. These characters that we come to love and adore, I aspire to be, you know, Enola Holmes. I just turned you on to that movie last
night. I watched it last night. Yes, it's so cute.
It's so good. And just these, you know, these characters that we can say, I want to be like that, because in a world that doesn't seem to be fair, you know, we want the protagonist to take over. I do, at least. So I think it's really challenging to stay calm and to know what could be coming and feel powerless, and then to come up with coping mechanisms, like you're saying, you know. And so my action was creating the Empowered Together Network and redoing Incandescent Women magazine so that it reflects that, so people can come in and get promoted, you know. So I say we're pining for the future that we wish to see, like P-I-N-E,
yes.
Promotion, inspiration, networking, and education. And so we're going to teach each other. You're going to teach some really cool classes. Everyone in the network is going to teach each other, and we're going to come together on Wednesday evenings for a webinar and have an expert come in and talk to us. But, you know, that's my only way of saying it's not all lost, right?
Yeah, and you have to do what you can. And, you know, my grandmother always said that cowards, they die a million times before they actually die. And so, like, thinking about what's going to happen, like, we start stressing out about something that doesn't exist yet. We give that our energy. And so taking your energy, which you said, and putting it into action, how can I promote other women? How can I support women empowerment? How can I actually do something or have a business? I can move this business and change it. And that's powerful. That's really powerful.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. And I do binge read all of those articles. it calms me down in some way. And so I wanted to chronicle what was happening so I could look back in time. And so on our LinkedIn page, I post them every day. And I went from hundreds of impressions a week to literally thousands, 6,000, 6,500 impressions.
Amazing.
On this. I think because I read the whole article and then I pull out the nut graph. And so people can just track it slowly. You know, and read what they want. Sometimes I feel like, you know, like I'm creating the problem because I'm reporting on it. But that's very core to who I am as a journalist.
But that's okay, because some people, they want to stay informed so they can take action in a different way. As long as it doesn't become consuming that information from other people, like you're taking it and you're digesting it, and that's a service. I think being of service is really helpful when we're stressed, but other people need it, and then they can do something with it, and if we create that own, our own little chain of things, you know. We just have to, as long as we do something. I feel like if we're just sitting around and reading and taking it in, that's like the worst thing we could do. You're reading it, digesting it, retelling it. You're doing something with it. So
yeah,
I feel like as long as we're useful.
Yeah, and trying to figure out you know, I remember feeling during the pandemic, I was in another graduate program in Southern California, and, you know, there was no knowing what was going to happen, especially in the beginning in 2020. And I would just walk the streets of Claremont, California, and pick up pine cones and really appreciate what was. And I would trigger any thought that triggered me, I'd say, but just for today, here we are.
Yes.
Right?
We have to be alcoholics about it. Honestly, just like one day at a time. And you know, that's exactly right. But I want to tell you something about pandemic. Like, I was freaking out and I saw, you know what, my grandmother survived the siege of Leningrad. Like, I'm just going to do what I can. And I had parties online with my friends and I was dancing in my apartment. I still had a job that I went to. And so I was really lucky. But I read this story. And again, these stories are far in between because of far and few, whatever the expression is, because not many people are courageous enough, I feel like, and don't have the attitude. And people who are listening, well, I have the attitude. If you have attitude about what I'm saying right now, you probably don't have an attitude, because attitude here would be like, I wonder what I could have done differently. Like, that's the attitude. And then you do something differently. But there was a guy, okay? He was like 18 years old kid. I don't know. I don't want to tell exactly how old he was, but he was like a kid. I think he was under 20 or around, okay? And he lost his job at a bakery because people were shutting down bakeries and restaurants, and he was bored. And instead of sitting there and complaining, he was like, well, I'm bored. I love making bread. So he started making bread and just giving it away to neighbors. Well, his bread was so good because he put his heart in it because he loved making this bread that within like 2 weeks, he started getting orders from people to buy this bread. And his father was a real estate agent, so he found him some like little commercial kitchen, and he started a bread business. And now he like sells bread. He has his own bakery. He has his own storefront. He sells his bread to restaurants. And I absolutely love this story because this kid literally did what I'm saying. Like, he was like, well, I'm going to take action, doing something that makes me feel good and is of service. I think those are the big things. Take action that makes you feel good, because you shouldn't take action that makes you feel destructive, because then you'll feel drained and you're not going to be of service. But if you take action that is joyful and you're of service. And I mean, come on, guys, like bread is water, yeast, and flour, like commodities. And there's so many bread companies out there. There's so many bakeries in the country, in the city. Like, he wasn't like, well, there's too many bakeries, I shouldn't do it. Like, he was like, I'm just going to do it because I love it. And he had that attitude. He's like, I'm just going to do it because it's fun. And then things happened.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's so beautiful. And so whatever we can do, like, I don't know what's going to happen at all. There's outcomes of different things, but it's like, okay, I'm here now. I think we're all addicted, like alcoholics, to knowing the future, to controlling, right? Because our ego, our that primitive mind wants to know and have certainty. And I remember the first time I had, not the first time, but I had this really like stressful time when I lost my apartment to a flood. And I was like, I hate uncertainty. Like, I didn't know where I was going to live, where I was going to move. Like, I had the dog that was dying. There's so much stuff. And I was like, I hate uncertainty. I hate uncertainty. And then I read that feminine energy thrives in uncertainty because you cannot create anything new from certainty. It's already there. And I was like, I love uncertainty. I love uncertainty. I hate uncertainty. I love uncertainty. I hate uncertainty. I love uncertainty. And I was like a parrot. Like, people laugh at me. Like, I literally was walking around the hallway and saying, I hate uncertainty, I love uncertainty, I hate uncertainty, I love uncertainty. And I love uncertainty one, and then ended up having a good attitude, and then I ended up coming on top. And like, everybody who knows me has heard the story, because that story, I don't just tell everybody, I need to rehear it. That even if you're dealt with the same cards as everyone else, your attitude will have a different outcome. Because there were 30 apartments that were affected in the same exact flood with exact the same conditions. And people with good attitude ended up winning. People with negative attitude didn't. And I know that from somebody who worked and observed it.
Yeah.
And she shared it with me. She said, people who didn't have good attitude, they did not win. Because they said, oh, it was such an interesting experience. You know, it actually ended up, I ended up getting something positive out of it. And she's like, you are not the, not, not everybody. You were maybe just a few people. So...
Yeah.
You have to train your attitude.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they won.
And now it's a really challenging time, you know, financially, just figuring out what might be coming, where to invest, how to invest, who to invest with. You know, people tend to shut down, which makes all small business get very wonky when there are no more openings. Right. So there's that, all that negativity that we know is around us. So that key is just keeping it positive. So I think that, you know, that's really what we need to keep doing. And I think that's a perfect way to end our first episode, is
yes,
takeaway. Right. So gonna love. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Let's see if my, yeah, there you go. I love you.
And, you know, we're just going to keep the question bar going with club soda and cranberry juice. And we're
going to
try and figure out one fun thing to do a day. That's my practice. You know, when my kids were little, I'm like, to eat something green every day. Now my thing is, you have to do one fun thing a day, whatever that
yes.
might be for you, right? So the love, the fun, and the positivity. We just have to keep it going. And, you know, we'll survive that siege in Leningrad.
You know, my mom and I had this really weird analogy that we thought about. If you go to the gym and like you're strong, you have like a really toned body. And if you were going to the gym and the trainer goes, "Here, Hope, take these weights and lift them," you're not going to be like, "Oh my God, what an asshole. He made me lift heavy weights." You'd be like, "Oh, Alina, you know what? He challenged me and I lifted them and look at my muscles," right? And I feel like that's what the universe is doing to us right now. Like we just have to train that muscle of being positive. It's not an easy job. Just like going to the gym is not easy. But this is our spiritual gym to see it's easy to be happy when everything is fine. It's easy, but it's not easy when things are falling apart. But then we don't know. Like nobody knows what's going to happen in the future. No one knows. It can be going so many different directions. But right now we just, if we look at this as spiritual gym and have positivity and look for one thing that makes us happy every day and just nourish that a little bit. And by the way, even if you notice that you got into negativity, you should praise yourself for noticing. Like that's the number one step in change, right? Noticing, oh shit, I was negative today. Like that is, I think, it's a spiritual gym. If you look at it as it's a gym for positivity, focus on positivity, do what you can, somehow it will work out. And if it doesn't, it wouldn't work out anyway, but at least you have a good time.
Yeah, well, and I
You
think
know.
maybe that's the only working out there is, honestly. At 60, there's tons of people that I know and love who are older than me, and tons of people that I know and love who are younger. And I don't think necessarily that age matters, but I do think experience matters. And what matters to me right now is just being here with you and this, these beautiful glasses at the question bar and all the things that we're creating and staying in our integrity and our authenticity, right? Using our voice,
Yeah.
using our hearts, all the love, right? So I'm so excited. We're going to take questions for the question bar in upcoming episodes. Send them to us, hope@hopegibbs.com. And Alina, you can send them to Alina. Tell us your email address.
Alina at alinaz.com. Super easy. And yeah, the we're here for ourselves, first of all. Like we started this because we're like, we need support of each other. And I'm like, let's open it to other people because we're talking about the website and how can we make it to serve other people? Because I feel like being of service genuinely that makes you happy, is the only way right now to not just survive, but to thrive. And
Yeah.
again, as I said, like, I don't want to get morbid, but death is honestly like the only motivator. Because it's guaranteed, but how we'll live is our choice. We all know how it's going to end, but you know, they say the two most important days in your life are when you're born and when you understand why. And I feel like if you understand why, if you don't understand why, I feel like joy and being positive no matter what, because eventually we're going to die, so might as well have a good time.
I love that. All right. Cheers to you. Cheers to that. Cheers to the question bar at the Empowered Together Network on incandescentwomen.com. Join us.
Yes.
Come play, friends. Thank you
Yes.
all.
Cheers.